Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all parties do have open and interactive lines. If you are not speaking at the moment, please press star six on your phone. That will mute your line. Star six again will unmute your line. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to your host. We have Ms. Stephanie Bagot. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thanks, Lori. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 2011 RTC and Jazz Open Mic Series. The topic today is New Era of Transparency, Release Plans and Dashboards. My name is Stephanie Bagot, and I work for IBM Rational as a technical support engineer for Rational Team Concert and Jazz. Today, our speaker is Robin Garside. Robin has been with IBM Rational for 12 years and holds a bachelor's degree in computer science. She has served in a variety of roles on the ClearCase team and has spent the past 3 years working on Jazz.net and growing Rational's Jazz presence throughout transparent development and community outreach. In addition to Jazz.net, Robin also manages Level 3 engineering for Rational Team Concert and works closely with RTC customers to ensure customer satisfaction. We will be having a web conference today, and you can join on by signing on to www.webdialogs.com/join, conference ID 3133836. If you are unable to join in on the web conference, please listen in on the phone. Robin will be sharing her knowledge throughout the hour, but all lines are open, so please feel free to jump in and share your questions and ideas. And now I will introduce our speaker, Robin. Go ahead, Robin.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, or afternoon, or wherever your time zone is. I want to thank you for coming to the session. We're going to spend the majority of the session talking about transparent development, which is what we do at Jazz.net. So we'll be using Jazz.net as the example of what transparent development is all about and why we think it's a good thing. And for that, we'll move along. So transparency. We've talked a little bit about that just in the opening remarks in terms of transparent development. Well, what is it? So transparency occurs, we believe it occurs, when people can see all development activities and they can be easily understood, even by individuals that are not working on the project per se. Typically in the past, developers work on projects, they use source control tools, they use bug tracking tools, and unless you really work on the project or you are a developer, it's awfully difficult to grok what's going on. So transparency means opening up development activities to everybody so it's easy to see what's going on, who's doing what, and so forth. So Jazz.net, www.jazz.net, is IBM or Rational's official site for transparent development. It was a new concept that we kicked off probably about 3 years ago. It was intended to be an experiment, and of course, since then has proven to be very successful. We started off with a very small amount of users and community in a couple of low thousands, and we're in excess of 80-something thousand members and growing strong. So clearly people are seeing the value in transparent development and the value of Jazz.net. So Jazz.net is a community. Anybody can register. It's not an IBM-specific thing. It's out to the entire free world. You just need to register at Jazz.net. You become a community member, and then I will explain a little bit about what goes on there. So just to recap a little bit, the goals and purpose of Jazz.net, just so people understand really what's going on. A lot of people would think, well, it's just a website, but really it's not. It's a website that's actually used to showcase our products under transparent development. And when I say our products, I'm talking about products that are built using the Jazz technology from Rational. So by showcasing, it means when you're on the web and you can get into these various projects that are on Jazz.net, one of which, of course, is Rational Team Concert. I'll be using that as our example throughout the presentation. What you're really seeing is the project page is kind of a landing page just over the development of the product. So you can see what the product is about, what's happening, what's new, interesting things that would, perhaps make you want to try it and so forth. But the real interesting part is over on the right in the participation, which means if you click any of the participation links, which you can't see all the choices on the screenshot, You can really interact with the people that are working on Rational Team Concert in terms of seeing their bug reports, looking at their dashboards, viewing plans, and so forth and so on. So it's designed to be very interactive, so our development for Team Concert is really exposed to anybody that's a community member. And that's, the purpose of that exposure is for you to see what's going on and be able to see that we are, you know, using our own software to build our software, and for you to interact with us to let us know what your requirements are, give us feedback, submit bugs, do all the kinds of things that help us to make Rational Team Concert a better product and align more with what the community and people really need. The second purpose, it's a focal point. So jazz.net is really used as kind of a hub or a central point for building and using and extending jazz products. So projects within Rational that are built using jazz technology are continuously, we use the word onboarded, onto jazz.net. So you'll see we started out with just Rational Team Concert and Jazz Foundation as a technology platform. And over the 2 or 3 years that we've been at this, we've added 9 or 10 more projects of things that are built using jazz technology, so we can see it's a growing base of products that will participate. And the last one is to reach a new community. We wanted to expand target market a bit. Most of the people that had dealt with Rational in the past, there were a lot of preconceived notions in Rational in terms of, ClearCase and ClearQuest, and they're big and they're hard to use and so forth. So jazz.net was a way to kind of break through that perception barrier and, you know, show people that the new tools that are being developed on jazz have taken account into some of the past problems and made things easier and lighter weight and so forth and so on. So the idea was to just really expand the realm of interest to people that would be interested in Rational that may not have been before. And the last thing is, of course, we use jazz.net. It has a wealth of technical information there that's written, you know, by the developers that's high quality. And we use the site to help enable the sales field and services teams who need to support the products once we release them. So any questions so far? So what can you do at jazz.net? So we've kind of divvied this down to some verbs that might help you to understand. For those of you who don't use the site regularly, there's a variety of things you can do there. The first, which is, of course, learn. All the project pages that are there are there to help you learn about the Rational products that are built on jazz. They should be quickly able to tell you, you know, what's the purpose of this product, how does it help me, how can I... what can I learn about it very quickly, and so forth and so on. So as a learning activity, there's lots of learning to be done on jazz.net, and that certainly comes through on the product pages as well as libraries and so forth and so on. There's just a lot of information there, depending on what you're interested in. I think the other big component, as we talked about before, is the interaction. So jazz.net is designed intentionally to allow dialogue with jazz developers and community members and other community members. So there are active forums with each project. For example, Rational Team Concert has an active forum where people ask questions, developers give answers, sometimes other community members give answers. So it's very interactive in terms of speaking with the community members and getting direct questions and answers and so forth and so on. One could think of it as a kind of alternative to traditional support channels, where instead of having to log a support ticket or so forth, you could go on to the community, ask your question, and in theory get your answer really quickly. So we do have a lot of success with our forums. They're very busy. Lots of activity there and lots of great information exchanged and questions answered. So it's a good thing. Tracking. So if you are interested in a particular product or project, tracking progress is something that external users can do. So it's very easy to jump on the site, go to your project of choice, and look at what developers are doing, either through their dashboards, through their work items. Some people subscribe to work items so that they can see particular activity on something that they're interested in. There's just numerous ways to really look at what's going on and to be actively involved. The watch component is a bit that's a little less proactive, but when we say watch, the site is designed. So jazz.net is powered by recent milestones of all the products that we use. So, for example, right now on jazz.net, all the RTC underpinnings and framework that we use are the most recent versions of RTC that are available, which means they're pre-released. We're running on our pre-release software, and it's working for us. So that's a pretty compelling story for people to see and raise their confidence. Well, you know, if they're using it, then, you know, maybe it's of higher quality. And we do use our jazz-based products during our development cycle, which is also somewhat unique. Downloads. So we offer a wide range of downloads, mostly in terms of product trials. This is not a site that competes. For those of you that are IBMers or IBM customers, this is not a replacement for Passport Advantage or places where you get things that you've purchased. Jazz.net allows you to get quick product trials, betas, and early milestones. We do make fixes available out there, too, as well, but in terms of the purpose of it, it's for trying things out in early releases and not a place to get your permanent license. There's also a trial sandbox out there, which is a new thing we've implemented as a Rational Team Concert 2.0. This is a good thing in terms of people that want to try Rational Team Concert, and we're going to extend that sandbox ability to Rational Quality Manager and Rational Requirements Composer this year, which are the ones that will participate in what we call the CLM release, which is the Collaborative Lifecycle Management products. The sandbox is an alternative way. So downloading is time-consuming and an investment on the part of the user. Sandboxing makes that experience a lot easier. You don't need to download anything. You don't need to do anything. It allows you to just kind of create a project in an already existing instance that belongs to you and invite other people. So it really makes the trial experience a little bit more streamlined and less costly to the user. It takes a considerable amount of time to, A, download, you know, servers, clients, and so forth, and then, B, go through the setup process, et cetera. So sandboxes are a way to provide a hosted experience to the user at a low cost to them so they can try our products. You can submit bugs and enhancement requests directly on jazz.net. So you can just go out there, find the product you like, submit a bug against it, or ask for an enhancement, and so forth. Library of articles. We have lots of technical material that I mentioned before, which is really a source of great information. The field and sales teams use it. The support teams, we use it ourselves. There's really a high-quality set of documentation in the library. And we talked about the forums, and we have a team blog. The blog is used primarily by members of our development team who want to highlight or bring your attention to some certain feature or something, a new event or whatever is interesting that's happening. So the team blog is also a great source of info. Okay, so sandbox, we talked a little bit about that. That's a big deal right now on jazz.net because it's kind of helping to allow people to get trial access sooner, which is important, without a great investment on their part. So the idea in a nutshell, and I won't talk too much about this because I think you get the idea, is that you can get on the sandbox, you can just immediately go create a new project, you can create work items, you can deliver source code, you can do dashboards, you can do invite others. So it's really a kind of a nice way to get an early indication of, you know, using Rational Team Concert and working without having to do a whole lot of upfront investment yourself. So right now we have sandboxes out there that are based on the Rational Team Concert 3.0 version. Those will be moved forward to 3.0.1 when we release in the second quarter of this year. In addition, we'll be expanding that out to offer sandboxing for the full set of CLM products, which will be an addition to what we have there today. So for products and downloads, just in general, this is I explained that what we have on jazz.net are trial downloads for all of our products that are out there. I think this pretty much speaks for itself. You can get the latest release, latest milestone. Depending on what you want, you can get the last GA version. We keep a whole history of downloads out there for each project that's on there, so you can kind of get what you want. You can get iFixes and just about anything there for you to get at quickly. So the library is very extensive. So in our library, you can subscribe to the library via RSS feeds, which is a nice feature if you want to know if anything new has been added. There is a lot of new content that's added to this quite frequently. It's a very active place. You can search it. It's pretty searchable when you're looking for particular things. It has names, product names or keywords or whatever it is that you might be interested in, so it's pretty easy to find things there. And again, I say the quality of this documentation is quite high. Developers write these things themselves. They're based on their own experience having implemented some of these features themselves, and lots of videos and podcasts and just a huge amount of things. We have a lot of success with our library things in general, and we've been asked, you know, by many people to have them translated and get them, you know, available in other parts of the world. So the library has become really a very integral part of our products as far as getting information, especially for early adopters and early users to really have a good experience. Okay. I'm hung up here. I hope that doesn't mean the meeting is in jeopardy.
We can still see it, Robin.
Yeah, and it's not not advancing. Oh, hang on. There we go. Thank you. We talked about the forums. So, again, I mentioned it in terms of support. And this, again, is kind of very integral to the transparency theme. What we're trying to accomplish, really, is interaction and involvement, which is at the forefront of what transparency is all about. Some people, when we first started, you know, the transparency philosophy, we didn't quite understand it ourselves, and we realized that we were doing a lot of things out in the open, but you get the fishbowl effect if you're doing transparency out in the open and it's not paired up with feedback channels. And we'll be doing a considerable amount of work in 2011-2012 on jazz.net to really make the feedback model extend more than just the forums. That's been the real value of jazz.net and the transparency overall, is that there's a communication between the people that are using our products directly to the people that are creating our products, which is exactly what you would want. There's no levels of confusion in terms of what people are asking for and what our developers are hearing. So that's a really good thing. So right now the forums are kind of the main, most important interactive vehicle on jazz.net. We have forums for each project or product. I use project and product interchangeably. We call a group of developers working together on something a project, and then what they deliver and that you can purchase as a product. So those terms are just somewhat interchangeable. So each of those projects has a forum. All the developers that work on that team are responsible for managing and looking at that forum and keeping it up to date and answering questions promptly and so forth. Again, we think it's a critical aspect of transparency that users are able to really make their needs known, and forums are one aspect of how they do that. Other people look at our forums, too. We have not only jazz developers, but we have our great rational support people and other experts that monitor our forums. So over time, we're developing more expertise than just on our traditional development team to other support organizations throughout IBM, which is bringing more horsepower to the forum community. So that's been great. Integrations. So we have numerous integration points with our jazz products, and that's one of the areas of transparency, is that we want to bring awareness. So for awareness, sometimes people don't always know, you know, when it integrates with what. So we've made a bit of a concerted effort here to look at Rational Team Concert in this case, and tell people, you know, these are all the integrations that we know about that exist, and some of those are IBM offerings, some of them are external business partners and other ISVs that offer value-added solutions on top of what IBM offers, which is also great. There's a lot of times where people don't know what's available, and the integrations point is nice for people to see just how flexible and ubiquitous some of these products are, and that they work with a variety of solutions, whether it be, again, business partners or open source in many cases, or just a variety, even competitors, for example, Visual Studio. So, release plans. So this is another thing that it was new with the advent of Jazz.net, which is, gee, why don't we tell people what we're doing before we do it? So that was kind of a radical concept 2 or 3 years ago. Typically, development was done in a closed room, and plans were made, and people would go into a cave for a year, and out the other end a year later would come a release. So that model was challenged with transparent development to say, why don't we tell them what we're doing before we do it? See if we can do some early proof points in terms of our software. It's pretty hard to talk about things in the abstract. So, you know, one of the basic tenets of Jazz.net is really to deliver working software, and that could be, you know, a pre-release, early alpha build that, you know, is working to some extent, but its purpose is not to to necessarily be, you know, anything one would use in production, but to help people think about what's being done and to validate that you're on the right track. So this has been pretty successful overall, and release plans are one way that we've been able to set the tone or set the stage for what's coming up next with our products to validate those assertions to say, have we got it right? Look at our major themes. Do they make sense? Are we on the right track? And at the end of the road, when it comes out as a release, is this going to meet your need? So it's been, of course, having plans out there ahead of time makes some people nervous, and it's worrisome that, you know, especially if you're from the, you know, big upfront design model, having something out there in a plan and then needing to iterate and change it is disturbing to some people. However, with new development processes in place, such as, you know, the advent of Agile and Scrum and things that really are a proponent of iterating, this fits very well in line with that. And for Jazz.net and people that work on Jazz projects, you know, we consider ourselves to have agile philosophies towards our development, which means, you know, the big upfront design doesn't necessarily stand. We iterate as we learn things over time, which in the hope would yield us a better and more effective product and a more useful product to our customers in the end. So we've kind of learned how to do this in a way that is beneficial and that doesn't, you know, box you into your you know, original release plan up front where you can't make any changes at all, which isn't productive. So we've been very successful with this model by publishing intent and working with people in early releases and getting feedback at the point where you can actually do something about it. So that's been really a remarkable step forward. I'm going to take a breather. Does anyone have any questions at this point before I move on? Okay. Dashboards. So dashboards are a fundamental part of what we do at Jazz.net, and of course a feature of Rational Team Concert, and actually they're featured in some of our other products as well. But Rational Team Concert makes extensive use of dashboards. So dashboards are an easy way and a visual way to get a lot of information about a project all at once. On our development teams, most of our development meetings, if not all of them, and even our meetings with our senior management, are driven off these dashboards, which means we don't send out, you know, email agendas ahead of time or spreadsheets or Microsoft Word documents or anything. All our information that we need to do an effective status meeting or a planning meeting is here for us on the dashboard. So this is just an example of the RTC dashboard. As you can see, it's got a bunch of tabs up there. We use them extensively. The tabs are just a way for you to organize what's on your dashboard. You know, we have a variety of dashboards that are used for a variety of purposes. So depending on what you want, these are really, really easy to create. It's, you know, really down to the four-year-old child implementation. where you can pick a viewlet, you can attach just a simple query to it, get information, you can put HTML things, links. There's just a lot of things you can do with these dashboards without having to be any kind of guru with HTML or any kind of programming at all, or SQL or whatever it takes. So these are tremendously useful. I, as a manager, really rely on these. I actually run the Level 3 engineering team for Rational Team Concert, which is, means all the support-bound requests for development help come in through me. And I have dashboards for so many reasons. I have customer dashboards. I have just all kinds of reasons, and I'm able to see information very quickly on the spot, updated in real time, that's linked to other more detailed data. And I personally could not live without them. I don't know what we did before. So my experience with dashboards has just been fabulous in terms of being able to have a wealth of information available to me whenever I need it, not have to wait for an email. So we talked about the blog. We have very active blogging community with our developers. So if you haven't been to it or seen it, I encourage you to do so. Today's a big day in terms of Rational Team Concert and CLM, the Collaborative Lifecycle Management products in general. Our beta 3 is out today, which is the final beta before we release to the public in Q2. So big blog will be coming out later today from Eric Gamma, who's the technical lead for the project, highlighting all the things that are new in beta 3. Open source and academic use. So this is an area that we have on jazz.net right now, which is, so in theory, what we're looking to do is perpetuate the use of Rational Team Concert and its transparent development tenets and principles through the open source community and through the academic community. There's a tremendous amount of value to be had if we can get universities and students using Rational Team Concept and our other jazz products while they're in school. It's almost, you know, it's a way to get viral adoption for your products, which is, you know, allow people to, qualified people to use them for free, as we should. Then we have people coming out of school who are already familiar with how we do development. They're already familiar with transparency. For open source, it's the same thing. A lot of visibility, a lot of uptake there. So we plan to invest quite heavily over the next year in improving our academic and open source use and hosting options. So I'm excited about that as well, as I think that's a wonderful opportunity for us to get into these places and really have them see the benefits of how transparent development works. I think they would make great use of that in academic settings as well as anywhere else. Anywhere people work as teams, this is a really great solution. And I'm just going to pause here briefly. I was going to take you through a little bit of how we develop jazz.net in case you're interested. And I just want to stop here on the transparency theme in case there are any questions. Well, I will assume I've either put everybody to sleep or it was just everything you've ever wanted to know.
I had a question.
Terrific. You saved me.
Are there any limitations to the, I forgot what you called it in the beginning when you can create your own project, a sandbox. Are there any limitations that we need to be aware of when we're creating our sandbox? We couldn't actually do an entire product, could we, on it?
No. So the sandbox, that's a really good question. So the sandbox, the intent of it is to give people an easy opportunity to try out our products. You're not sure what they do. You want to get a quick experience with using it. The sandbox is not a place where you'd put a production thing. It's not enterprise hardened, if you will. in that case. And so there were disclaimers on the sandbox in terms about how long, you know, we would keep your data and how long the project can exist and so forth. So I think it's safe to think of it as a somewhat, you know, temporary place to do some learning, but nothing further than that. However, to that end, I think over time, and not necessarily overnight, but over time, I think the hosted options for both trial and use will be more robust than that. But as of today, it's really the reason we call it a sandbox is to give it that flavor of kind of, you know, kids playing around in temporary nature, so that people don't use it for anything mission critical.
Okay.
Who is speaking?
Well, I forgot to mention my name, Fred Carter, Pathway Technologies. The other question I have, if you don't mind, I didn't get your name because I came in late. Sorry.
I'm Robin Garside.
Oh yeah, Robin. Okay. The other question I had, if no one else has their hands raised, is dashboards. You mentioned there's a lot, how critical the dashboards are.
Yes.
Is there any content? And is there any content out there that you know of that not only just gets you up to speed on normal uses of dashboards, but some of the ins and outs of it? Is this, for example, a forum section or whatever you call it dedicated to dashboard development?
Not entirely. That's a really good question, though. So the forums that we have out there are general per product. But I think what you're asking me is there some where's the guidance for Dashboard 101, right? How do we get started? What's the best practice and what's the recommendation is, I think, what you're asking. There isn't such an exact specific thing in terms of exactly what you should do to get started with dashboards. But I think that's you bring up a really good point that in terms of some of our big pieces of functionality, like dashboards, perhaps like reporting. So I'll give you this thought. I don't have that available today. However, we are moving toward doing something along these lines. So this is an idea that we've been kicking around, which may fall into what you're asking me, which is doing some asset sharing, which means, for example, somebody has created this really cool dashboard and they're willing to share it with us. So you can see how it was made, how they did it. Or somebody created a report template that was useful to them and we could share it. So I think, you know, there's kind of ways here in which people can commune or share things around certain topics that are less broad than the whole product. And that was the intent when we thought about asset sharing is, do people have things that, A, they've done or, you know, have invested in that are not things that they would sell in particular? They're just, you know, little efficiency things that they've done that they'd be willing to share with a community, you know, rather than giving people, you know, cookbook instructions, you know, that we would actually share these things and reuse them, which I thought, that might make sense. So I'm just interested to hear if anybody on the call would find that useful because we've heard a lot of feedback that people want this, and so we're kind of kicking around the notion of maybe this would be a great way to rally up, you know, smaller groups of people around certain specific things that they are interested in.
So I think that's a wonderful idea, and you'll be amazed how much that will grow if we put it in place. And you know, I was thinking, you know, perhaps a home for that might be in the forums. You have a certain forum section dedicated to that.
Yeah.
We were worried.
Thought, well, what if we do this and then, you know, nobody's interested in it? So it's interesting for me to get your feedback saying, I like that idea, because others have reacted that same way as well, saying, geez, you know, I wish I had a way to talk to somebody else that was, you know, doing a dashboard or somebody else that's writing a report for the first time. And that, you know, the list goes on in terms of things that people would want to do that are not necessarily just a general question, but something that you would want to collaborate, you know, with others who have experience or have done this before so that you can cut down the learning pain.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, we're definitely, that is on the table. So even my own general manager has been pushing on this saying, you know, Robin, we really need to, you know, give people a hand up here, and asset sharing is a way of doing that. So I'm excited to hear that it's not only us that thinks it's a good idea and that people in the community would find it useful, which gives me more firepower to kind of get it done.
Yep. Same thing with, I think it goes along the same line with what you guys are doing with the integration topic.
Yep. Yeah, and the integrations thing, that's a good point, too, that you bring up. You know, we really, I think there's opportunity there to expand that, you know, as well. I run into a little bit of a problem sometimes where as far as, you know, where to draw the lines, it would be great, you know, if people could contribute things. However, I'm concerned about when you get into contribution, especially if things like code and things, you know, you bring on a whole host of, you know, intellectual property issues and things like that. I think with the asset sharing of, you know, templates and things like that, that's less of a problem, but code, you know, presents a bigger problem. So even if the integrations page was to serve as nothing but to bring awareness and wasn't designed as a contributor model, I still think it's good, but I'd like to, you know, continue to push that envelope because I got to believe that not only do we have integrations that we know about that are being done by, you know, ISVs and business partners and so forth and open source, but I bet that there's probably a lot of organic and growing, you know, knowledge by people that are just using the products that have invented these, you know, little helpful plugins or something that, you know, we could use that are not necessarily designed for sale, if you will, but are just kind of, you know, a way for people to get familiar with the products and perhaps for them to get, you know, some community visibility in terms of, hey, look, I did this neat thing, right?
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, and I think so, too. So I think we're thinking the same thing, and we're trying to, you know, push down that avenue of really opening up collaboration and transparency with our, you know, folks like you and other people that are on the site to a deeper level, right? And so, you know, creating kind of these work groups or people that can collaborate on certain things, to me, makes a whole lot of sense.
Yes.
And then feedback becomes more meaningful, too, as you start to use these things. It occurs to you, wow, wouldn't it be nice if, you know, and then, you know, you can really get that participation where you would open a work item or a request for enhancement based on your own experience.
Yep.
So I think it's all goodness, and I'm happy to hear that, you know, it's not just an illusion in my mind that people would find this useful.
I can see it. I like to see it get done, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I can tell you very much that it's on, you know, the list of things that we have to do is very long, but this idea and notion is very much towards the top. So I'm feeling, you know, optimistic that we'll get the support that we need to put something in place and at least, you know, do what we've been doing entirely with jazz.net, which is, you know, kind of for the first time in my career, it's been fun because we get to experiment. You know, it doesn't have to be all done, finished, complete, and working. What we find is that when we get started with something, you know, people are willing to work with us on tuning that to be the right thing because we often don't know when we come out of the gate exactly what's needed, and you got to, you know, kick it around a little bit.
I'm interested, as many as well as others, I'm sure. And how are others using it? What are others doing with it, particularly dashboards and integration? So I think the forum ideas and the assets, sharing ideas that we're talking about really helps newer customers, you know, jumpstart their product development.
I completely agree, absolutely. And I think that's important. You know, it's such a great thing to be able to not have to suffer, you know, the complete learning curve when you don't need to, right? There's somebody else that's, you know, one of the things that's nice about a community, in theory, is that we're supposed to help each other, right? You know, there's my Robin's naive impression of community, where you would help each other, which means, you know, you can benefit from my experience and I benefit from someone else's experience. And, you know, it's kind of the pyramid scheme of experience where, you know, people that are coming in new get the collective benefit of people that have been around for a while and everybody improves together, which I think is, you know, really the vision for what we'd like to see happen. As being, you know, a jazz user, you not only get, you know, these products to work with, but you get, you know, this kind of, you know, support group, mental support group to guide you through.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it's different from traditional support in terms that, you know, it's us talking to each other, it's us talking to the developers. You know, support is a great, you know, way to get things fixed and quickly, but, you know, we're really talking about the experience, the one-on-one, the, you know, the virtual one-on-one experience that you have, you know, at jazz.net, which is different from a traditional, you know, call to support number, right? So.
Yep.
And I think an enhanced, you know, experience, and I think the support people would agree that, you know, wouldn't it be great if a lot of our customers didn't suffer at all and, you know, the support lines were quiet? Wouldn't that be great, right? So, or the support lines were used for, you know, real serious issues that, you know, you're never going to solve on a forum, but, you know, I think it would be just wonderful to have, you know, almost a bit of a self-sustaining, you know, community for the day-to-day things.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? I'm just going to move on. I just wanted to mention a couple things about how the site is developed and just for your own edification, and then we'll finish up. So for jazz.net, we use Rational Team Concert to actually develop the site itself. So the site is you know, J2EE application. We run it on WebSphere and so forth on a bunch of servers that are up in Toronto. Where jazz.net is housed. We use an agile planning methodology on my team. Because it's a website, we tend to move very, very quickly. Web development is a little bit different from traditional development because we deliver things, you know, the content and the things change on a website very frequently as opposed to less frequently when you're delivering commercial products. So we have, you know, two-week iterations, which means, you know, we barrel around for 2 weeks to figure out what we can get done. We do have items that, of course, take longer than 2 weeks that are in longer-term planning, but typically we're delivering things at least on a two-week cadence and, you know, sometimes, depending on what's going on, daily. But the point is we use, you know, the planning tools to track our work items, to track workloads, to see what people are doing. We use our dashboards to drive the meetings, to check status, to talk about where we're blocked and so forth and so on, just as we mentioned before. We have source code for jazz.net that we have set up with multiple streams that we use to manage our production employment. So, of course, it's a website. We have staging areas where we deploy before we go live on the site just to make sure we don't do a whole-scale breakage. So we have a number of development streams that we use to manage that. We build. We have a build engine, build definitions that we use. When we make a change, things a build gets kicked off automatically, and that build is the thing that would get deployed to the staging server. So we watch the progress. We can see it happening. It's very, very transparent. And just some little JazzNet self-hosting statistics. So we have about 1,200 developers that actively work on Jazz.net projects. So that's... Yeah, it's a lot. We started out with a few hundred, and we're up to about 1,200 now. So that means on any given day, all those projects that you see on jazz.net have 1,200 individuals that are working on them all over the world. Of course, we have, you know, major development centers in the U.S. and in Canada, in Europe, in India, in China, Japan. They are everywhere, Australia, you name it. We've exceeded... 80,000. We're over 80,000, tracking up to 85,000 open community members like yourselves. So that's a tremendous uptick. Over the years, we've had steady growth, and we're hoping with some of the initiatives that we're doing with open source, academic. We have a big CLM release coming out this year, which is really a huge step forward to see that registration move up quickly would be great. We have 9 product streams, 20 project areas at least. That could be up as far as this year is concerned. We have 500 sandbox projects since April. Last April we had, and this new sandbox we have probably were up to about 300 now when we up the sandbox to be from 2.0 to 3.0. So we expect that to climb well into the, you know, into the 1,000 marker in a short period of time. Of course, we have deployments that run on Linux, AIX, Z, and we're averaging about 4 to 6 weeks on 6 repos, so we do a milestone. These candidate milestones are done every 1 to 2 weeks as we get towards the end game. And 12 to 14 deployments a year on 80-plus deployments a year on jazz.net alone. So jazz.net has become a very big place. it's just an incredibly growing development community in terms of not even just a user community, but development-wise, what this means is our internal development people are, you know, quickly moving to RTC, adopting RTC at a very fast pace, which is terrific. We're finding, you know, our own internal adoption to be faster than we've ever seen in the past of people, you know, taking on especially source control and other complicated development tools. So this has been a real success story for us so far. So that's it for me. I'm happy to entertain questions, thoughts, complaints, whatever is on your mind.
Hey, Robin. I have a question.
Yes. Who's speaking?
So, this is Ed Newbecker.
Oh, hi, Ed.
So JSNet is a very interesting concept. And are there thoughts to for large enterprise scale customers to basically adopt the pattern that we've utilized for JS.net, where we basically have a front end to the Teams dashboard for blogging and collaborating and what's new and stuff like that for their own internal large scale deployments of JAS based technologies?
I don't know. I mean, can you give me an example, Ed, of what you might be thinking? Are you talking about, you know, so we've been asked this question before. It's like, you know, we don't sell JAS.net per se.
Right.
This is our, you know what I mean? This is our organic implementation of what we've done to achieve transparency amongst ourselves at a greater level than you would if you were just, you know, diving into rational team content directly, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, large scale, you know, customers are distributed in nature. They'll have, you know, thousands of consumers of some solution that they're going to use in their product development streams.
Yep.
And they'll have bits and pieces of our JAS-based technology, and they'll have their own. Right. And the way that they collaborate with their end users is very similar and analogous to how our development teams and IBM are collaborating with the world.
Yes, I agree with you. And it's interesting, though. So I've gotten – you're not the first person that's mentioned, you know, brought this up. And we've had people ask us, you know, could we – you know, how do we do JAS.net? You know, how would we do JAS.net at my company X? And then, of course, there's the other end of the spectrum, which is, oh, you know, at my company, you know, we don't like all this publicity, you know, or we would like to restrict this, or we, you know, so it depends on which end of the continuum, you know, you're kind of looking at how far your transparency, how far are you willing to take your transparency, right? And again, it's still, I think even in the industry, you know, especially with our systems customers, you know, we're the concept of being, you know, open and out there is just kind of taking shape now. So some people have been shown very much interest in, you know, what do we do with JAS.net, and, oh, maybe we should bottle up that solution. But to be honest, Ed, we haven't done any serious thinking past that, and we're just, you know, kind of we look to our customers to say, is this something you need? Is this the way you're going to go? And I haven't gotten anything but, you know, some anecdotal feeling about what people might want. I don't know if you've got anything more concrete.
Yeah, I've got a couple customers that the once I say that you know, what you're trying to look for is exactly what we do on JAS.net. And they stop and they pause and they said, you're right.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Because if you would, you know, maybe offline you could tell me who those customers are. Because I'm just curious in general, if your customers are interested in it, then I got to believe that they're not, you know, the outliers, right?
Yep.
So that's a great concept. And I think, you know, for bigger customers who could indeed, you know, make this investment, is this something that we would want to, you know, or how to do this, or, you know, using the solution that we have, does that make sense? Now, I will warn that, of course, that I told you when we first started JAS.net, never in our wildest dreams did we think it would be as successful as it is. So, naturally, in the early days, we used the technology that was available to us. We used the hardware that was available to us. So we've, you know, Jazz.net has become kind of a, it's evolved over time, right? If I had it to do over again today and re-implement it and throw out the baby in the bathwater, I would perhaps make different technology choices than I did then. There was no Lotus Connections, you know, really to use 3 years ago. There was, you know, so you know where I'm going with this, is that we've evolved Jazz.net over time, and I'm not sure that I would, in its current incarnation, box it up and sell it or do anything like that. But I think, you know, there's something we could glean from it is, you know, how you do it and advising people on how to create their own transparent hubs, if you will, maybe has some merit.
Very good.
Yep. That's a great point, Ed. Thank you. Okay, we're at 10:55. Any other questions or comments?
Okay, if you have any additional feedback or questions regarding this session, feel free to post on the Jazz.net forum, and Robin or I will answer them. Before we conclude the session, I would like for everyone to stay online, as I'm just going to have the operator ask a quick polling question. Lori, can you please do this now?
Thank you so much. Your polling question is, was this session useful? Press one, star 1 for yes, star 2 for no, star 3 for somewhat useful. Once again, press star 1 for yes, star 2 for no, and star 3 for somewhat. One moment.
Okay, and this concludes the session for today. I want to thank Robin for joining us, as well as all of you for participating and asking your questions. Join us next week when we will discuss licensing update and direction with our guest speaker, Kartik Kanakasabasan. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day. Bye.